Cultured Radio begins in 3, 2, 1.
So it's not a sin in your church to have an abortion?
That's the kind of conversation we would have, finding out your story, where you're from. God's the judge. People have to live to their own conviction.
The science is clear. The Bible is clear. And if we're honest, our intuitions are clear. We know what we're killing. We're killing a human being.
It's time for Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
You be the judge.
You want answers? I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth. You can't handle the truth.
Order in the court.
This is Wretched Radio. Prepare to play one of America's fastest growing game sensations. What did we call this thing? Which one of these is the greatest silent killer inside of the church? Yeah, that's what we called it. Which one of these is the greatest silent killer inside of the church? Jimmy, are you prepared to represent the tens and tens of people listening to this here Wretched Radio program?
I am.
It is an earnest responsibility. You and you alone as federal head of probably nobody, because who would continue listening to this nonsense? This is going to be a list of issues that are silent killers. Okay. And I'd like you to identify the greatest silent killer inside of the church today. Are you ready, sir?
I think so.
Carbon monoxide.
I mean,
could be.
You don't have to go much farther.
Stress. Mm. That's a silent killer. At least that's what the internet says. Radon could be a silent. High blood pressure.
Oh, yeah.
That can take you out. Depression is a silent killer.
Mm.
And finally, lack of assurance. Jimmy, which one of these is the greatest killer of joy inside of the church?
Yeah, I'm going to say lack of assurance.
You're really good at this, man.
Oh, did I get it right?
I got to tell you, this could be the trend that is far too overlooked. I do not know that I have seen many, if any, articles or treatment given to the subject of lack of assurance in the church. Now, Mike Abendroth, he compiled a bunch of devotionals from the Puritans on the subject of assurance, because he, at his church in Boylston, I think, Boylston, Massachusetts, he's seen it too, that people are struggling to know that they have been adopted into God's family. And if the emails that I receive are any indicator of what is really causing people a lot of angst inside of the church, then I got to tell you, I think it's a lack of assurance. Would like to share with you anonymously some of these emails, because you're going to hear the heart of these people. Overall, I don't think I've ever heard from somebody where I didn't hear the heartache, which I got to tell you, one of the best signs you are actually saved is that your heart aches that you might not be saved. Listen to the heart in some of these emails, because I think people are hurting and we should all be aware of this. And this might be one of those questions that perhaps is going to sound a little dopey to you, but if we're going to have genuine Christian fellowship, in other words, if we're going to grow through one of the means of growth that we see identified in Acts chapter 2, verses 42 and 43, these are the types of things we should be talking about with others. And feel free to use this. Hey, I was listening to this really dopey radio program called Wretched. That aside, they asked the question about assurance and if it's affecting a lot of people inside of the church. How are you doing with assurance? And you might be shocked to learn you got a lot of people surrounding you who maybe they put on a happy face on Sunday morning, but inside they are unsettled, to say the least, in no particular order. I feel kind of spiritually stuck and confused on certain things, like how do I repent without working, or how do I have faith? I overthink a lot because I want to make sure I got this right. I don't ever want to be guilty of rejecting Jesus, and I know that no Christian can ever do that, nor will they want to. Nevertheless, I feel kind of cold and like I lost my fire. Sometimes I might feel like I get it back, but I feel sometimes like a Pharisee, and I don't want to do that. Do you hear that? I want that, but I don't seem to be doing that. And I think that that is one of our key words when it comes to the subject of assurance, doing. Make no mistake about it. We should have fruit in keeping with repentance. There is no doubt about it. And if you are a born-again Christian, I assure you, you have some fruit. And that is why when we go about the business of inspecting fruit, the better question when we survey our own spiritual harvest is not, how many bushels do I have, but how many silos do I want filled with fruit in keeping with repentance? That's what I want. Please make sure if you're one of those individuals that is perpetually doing a little crop checking to see how the harvest is this year. Be careful of that, that that doesn't become your perpetual focus. And as you do that, rather than counting how many stalks are I high, how many stalks would I like to have? How much holier would I like to be? That is a much better indicator of salvation than fruit counting. And I've got to say it again, it doesn't mean we never do that. On occasion, we should examine ourselves. But if you're stuck, I hear these words inside of this email alone. I know that a Christian can't do that, but I feel cold, like I lost my fire. Be careful with that. We've talked about this before because this is a rather predictable sort of response to examining yourself and realizing I'm not as whoa as I was when I got saved. It's okay. It's okay. It should be replaced, increasingly replaced by something deeper and more profound. Let's continue with the letter. I struggle. I act like a hypocrite. I struggle with pride and self-righteousness. Keyword there is, Jimmy, did you hear the keyword?
Yes.
Struggle.
Struggle.
That's good. You should be struggling. We're all struggling. That's what sanctification is all about. I struggle with pride and self-righteousness. By the way, you will forever be struggling with pride. It is the root, I think, of every single sin. I hate the sin, but don't know how to humble myself. Well, yes, you do. You might be confused that your humbling is what curries God's favor. Wrong. You're humbled because you already have God's favor. Be careful if you think that your repentance is what is responsible for getting your slate wiped clean. That repentance is the work that washes your feet. Okay, I've been redeemed by Jesus, but my feet got dirty, so I've got to repent. Well, you should repent. I think that that's obvious. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just. But it's not your repentance that saved. It's Jesus. It's Jesus. And when we forget that, we will have a tendency to ask, all right, how earnest was I? Did I really, really repent? No, I think I just really repent. Oh, today I just repented, but I didn't really repent. And I certainly didn't really, really repent. Be careful of that, because here's the reality. None of us really, really repent the way that we should. And I know this is dangerous ground because it seems to some that this would give license to licentiousness. It does not. It actually produces a greater desire to not sin. That is what understanding grace actually does for us. Yes, you should shed tears when you sin. Yep, you should. But if you don't, be careful that you don't fall into the ditch on one side that says, you're not saved. Don't do that, because it's not your salty tears that get you forgiven. It's Jesus. On the other hand, you got a different ditch. Oh, I'm fine. I'm good to go. I don't need to cry. I don't need to be sad. No contrition from me. Be careful. Just make sure that your acts of contrition, rightly responding to the knowledge of your sin that's been revealed to you by the Holy Spirit, doesn't become the mechanism of your salvation. Jesus is. Once again, this is one email, by the way. Once again, I'm struggling, thinking everything I do is legalistic, and I don't want to do that. So you're looking at your motives too much. Stop. Stop that examination. Look at Jesus. Watch him and how he acts. You want to be shattered of your legalism? You go read the Sermon on the Mount, which is precisely the purpose of that sermon. Oh, you think that you're going to be able to do stuff to earn God's favor? The Hebrew word that the Sermon on the Mount uses is you don't have a chance. You have to be perfect, even like God is perfect. What should it do? It should destroy your self-righteousness. It should destroy your confidence. And you should find your confidence outside of yourself, not inside of yourself. I don't want to do these things. I'll examine myself and I'll wonder if I'm being legalistic as I'm doing good work. And then it makes me able to not do anything else, or I become antinomian, or at least spiritually lazy. How do I know? Listen to this. This is one email, and I'm telling you, this is persistent. This is the silent killer in the church. How do I know? What do I do? What do I not do? I don't know how or what to do. I'm confused and need Jesus. There you go. That's exactly right. You take your confusion. You take your uncertainty and you bring it to Jesus. You run to him and you lay it at his feet. And yes, you can repent over it, and don't examine your repentance. Just drop it with him and ask him to grow you in assurance, to surround you with people that can encourage you and exhort you and identify the fruit that you believe is lacking. And you fall into his arms and trust him. And if you're not doing that, then guess what? There's probably a really good chance I'm going to be getting an email from you soon. We will continue examining what I think is perhaps the potentially biggest silent killer in the church, lack of assurance, next on Wretched Radio.
Are you ready to go on an adventure that tackles life's biggest questions head on? Well, we invite you to join John Fabares and Jake Ream on a riveting journey in Road Trip to Truth Season 4. This season, they're hitting the road to explore deep questions about sin, atheism, racism, and the very nature of truth itself. Through candid conversations with university students and wisdom from experts, this season delivers some unwavering answers from a biblical perspective. Whether it's understanding the reality of heaven and hell, navigating the complexities of marriage, or uncovering the truths about money and forgiveness, Road Trip to Truth Season 4 will be your guide. It's perfect for youth groups, families, or anyone who seeks to defend their faith with confidence. Road Trip to Truth has been more than a series. It's a tool for sparking meaningful discussions and inspiring a commitment to the gospel. So if you're ready to head out on a road trip, buckle up for the truth. Road Trip to Truth Season 4, available now at wretched.org/4.
Might I, first of all, thank you for the hundreds of wretches who supported Masters Academy International last year. And if you are now perhaps intrigued by what they do at Masters Academy International, would encourage you to check them out. Yes, we're doing a Bible distribution program with them, but they're training pastors around the globe. Seminary-trained students at the Masters Seminary return to their native land, and they get plugged into a Masters Academy International mini seminary outlet where they teach indigenous pastors how to rightly divide the word of truth. It's brilliant. And these indigenous pastors trained at the Masters Seminary train indigenous pastors. Brilliant. It is a wonderful ministry, and you could be supporting a pastor, you could be supporting a seminary overseas, and you'll be strengthening the local church. You can do that at wretched.org/pastor, wretched.org/pastor.
Well, in a world that is undeniably cluttered with quick fixes and superficial solutions, now comes a journey into the heart of real change. I'm talking about Transformed Season 3. It's finally here, and we're inviting you into the lives of individuals that are facing the giants of fear and guilt and grief. But hey, there's a twist. These aren't your typical battles. These battles have been fought with the sword of the Spirit and the shield of faith. You'll witness loneliness and overeating and relational tension met with grace, truth, and love that can only come from the one who knows us the best. This season's not just about watching others, it's about seeing yourself and your struggles and the path to true transformation through biblical counseling. We'll together dive deep into the heart of what it means to be transformed. Transformed Season 3 can be found right now at wretched.org/transformed3.
Know your church fathers. Basil of Caesarea was the bishop of Caesarea in the 4th century. He was a defender of orthodoxy and wrote several important works proving the divinity of the Holy Spirit and refuting the Arian heresy. Most importantly, he introduced the Trinitarian formula, describing God as one being and three persons.
This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Needless to say, the church has issues. This is Wretched Radio. You can quickly create a list of all of the issues that the contemporary evangelical church is facing. Assaults on masculinity, assaults on femininity, assault on the family, assault on sexuality, assault on ethnic diversity, you name it. There are a lot of issues, but there is one that I believe is not spoken about very much. And I believe that it is crippling a lot of Christians. And even if it isn't taking them out of the game, it's hobbling them. And they are not experiencing something that Jesus wants for every believer, and that is joy. He wants us to have assurance. He wants us to know, because it brings a contentment and a peace and a purpose and a settledness. In other words, it provides shalom. And there are so many people, in my estimation, that are just confused about the status of their own soul. Are you one of those people? Perhaps you can relate to one of these emails. Here's another one. This will be anonymous too. Honestly, I don't go to God for help. I don't know why. I feel like I'm lying. If your inclination is to not go to God, that should be the spur. That should be the burr under your saddle that goes, I'm going to go to God. When you don't think you should go there, I am telling you, that is a lie. And the zip code is 666. That is from the pit. When you think, oh, I don't want to go to God. My prayers are fumbling and bumbling. Yep, join the club. Oh, they're so weak and pathetic. Yep, they most certainly are. I don't know what to say. I'm embarrassed. I'm ashamed. Yep, you should be. Go to him anyway. Run, run, run to your Savior. That's what he wants you to do. He bids you just keep on coming. Just drop to your knees and just bring it. He wants it. He wants you to cast everything on him, not some of it, not just the stuff that you think maybe he can handle. Everything, including your confusion, including your sins. Don't make the mistake of not going to him ever. I feel like I'm lying to myself, and most importantly, God, I'm so ashamed of what I've become that I've convinced myself that I'm just lying to myself and God by going to him. Bring it to him. Bring it. Take it. And then grab your Bible and look for all of the verses that will assure you he's not tittering at you. He's not disgusted with you. He's not put off by you. He's not ashamed of you. Go memorize those Bible verses. And then when you get these feelings, you will remember truth. Back to the email. I don't have self-control. I don't have love and compassion. I don't have discipline. I become the dog that goes back to its vomit, close to none of the fruit of the Spirit. Ah, wait a second. You said none of the fruit of the Spirit. First of all, this laundry list of failures and lack of what he believes or she believes, I don't even know if it's a male or female because I crossed it out, is lacking to provide evidence of salvation. There's some fruit, isn't there? Furthermore, I'll bet if you were willing to talk to somebody at church who knows you, who's been watching you, they might just give you a different perspective than you have of yourself. And this is one more reason you need to be in a local church. This is one reason right here. If you lack assurance, I wonder if you're not very plugged into your church and that you have not worked on relationships of people who would be willing to be honest with you and to say things about you. This is something that we could just be doing for one another in the context of the local church, encouraging, being a Barnabas, being an individual who says things that build up as opposed to tear down. And if you're not in a local church, I'm telling you, it won't be long before assurance creeps into your walk and starts to really hobble you. You need to be in a local church. I believe God is sovereign and an active God. He doesn't sleep or slumber, and he's always faithful. Well, that's a good confession, isn't it? Despite me knowing all of that, I don't go to him. All right, then here's what you need to do. Go to him. And you say, but I don't want to go to him. Well, I'm telling you, go to him and you're going to want to go to him. I don't think anybody has ever gotten off of their knees, spent time with the Lord, and got up and said, well, that was a waste. I don't think that's ever happened. Prayer is good for you. Do it. Just do it. I wouldn't even know where to start in his word. I'm so sick of who I am at this point. Please don't take anything serious. I'm not in any way, shape, or form thinking of self-harm. That's good. I just hate my rotten self. Well, there are certainly parts of us that we should hate about ourselves. But that's not where Christianity ends. Yes, the laws inform us that we are dirty, rotten scoundrels, but the gospel tells us that we're beloved anyway. And you need to load your brain with those truths. So when you feel like a rotten self, you can speak the truth that says you are called as a saint. You are the righteousness of God in Christ. You are an adopted, beloved child. You need to memorize those verses. When this feeling comes up, recite them. Rehearse those verses that you memorized. And then go to him. I know this isn't how a Bible-believing Christian ought to live out their faith. We're not supposed to have two faces, one in public and one in secret. How can I possibly preach the gospel when my heart is so filthy and wicked? It's not right. It isn't. That's the heart cry of a what would appear to be a believer who just doesn't receive what is needed to overcome a lack of assurance. And so I would ask you, dear pastor, are you ever preaching on the subject? And you don't need to use the word assurance, but do you ever talk about the issue of progressive sanctification, that we're a progress, that we're not supposed to be fully sanctified? Those of us who are conservative, that is an easy thing for us to miss because sanctification is important. But if all people are hearing is this is how you should be, for those who might be a little bit more on the scrupulous side, they're hearing that's what I'm not. And oh no, therefore the conclusion is not, how can I go to work on this? How can I tap into the power of the Holy Spirit to overcome this? But I'm out of the game. I'm my jersey is fake. I don't belong on this team, Pastor. Just asking. Another email. Hello. I was saved around a year and a half ago. Don't have the exact date or time. Since then, I've produced some fruit and had some spiritual growth. Okay, that's a really good start. That's what we all, we're all producing some spiritual fruit. And this is why it's a lifelong affair. After a year and a half, you ain't going to be perfect. None of us are on this side of the veil. But often I find myself taking steps back and feeling stuck and hardened. Especially recently, I doubt my salvation a lot. And so often I have, air quote, repented and, air quote, submitted my life to Christ, that it's become meaningless. My repentance is always empty. And I always end up turning back to worldly things. Was I ever really saved? If I keep backsliding like this, if I am saved, how can I stop the cycle or habit and get closer to God? Do the things that he tells you will help you. And stay in the fight. This is a spiritual battle. The militaristic language of the Bible is not a mistake. You are in a war here against the world, the flesh, and the devil. This ain't child's play. This is not sandbox children just kind of being naughty. No, no, no. We are absolutely engaged in war. And you need to be arming up. And you need to be doing the things that he says to do. And in the context of the local church is where that is to happen. Does your repentance feel empty? All right, here's my question for you. Would you have assurance of your salvation if your repentance felt less empty? Be careful with this because I know that a false assurance could be signaled if we're not careful here. But if you're relying on your repentance being so contrite that that's the only way that really indicates that I'm sorry, be careful. You're going to fall into the lack of assurance ditch. That doesn't mean you shouldn't strive to feel more convicted about your sin. And the longer you sit under the right preaching of God's word, the more you're going to feel that way. It's just going to, it'll happen. And simultaneously, even as that grows, so too will your assurance. They go hand in hand, but you must be participating in the regular feeding. Todd, I long to grow. This is another one. I long to grow in fruit when it comes to being a Christian. Ding, 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 ding. I long to be more fruitful, whether it's patience, joy, love, peace, and all the remaining Galatians 5 fruit. I find myself in a 2 to 3 month upward climb. Then I repeat the same sins, going for 2 to 3 months, repeat the same thing. Now, you can work through the timeline on that, but that to me sounds exactly like sanctification. It's like the stock market, at least the way it used to be. It's just upward trajectory, but it has some up days and it has some down days. Don't just look at the down days and conclude that is the status of your salvation. And Pastor, let's make sure we are addressing what I think is the greatest silent killer in the church. This is Wretched Radio.
And it's now time for a Wretched News break here on Wretched Radio. I am Jimmy Hicks. We start today with the fine folks of Wyoming who have just said adios to gun-free zones. Seems like the fine folks in that neck of the woods have decided it's time to let law-abiding citizens to carry concealed firearms pretty much anywhere they go, like schools, government meetings, you name it. Of course, there are some exceptions like bars and stuff, but that just makes sense. And Democrats, as you might expect, cried some crocodile tears over it, claiming that it would make schools less safe. However, statistics, well, they show otherwise, because studies have found that most mass shootings happen in these so-called gun-free zones. Because criminals know law-abiding citizens follow the law, and so they don't have to face very many guns in gun-free zones. Well, it seems like common sense has prevailed in Wyoming. Can't say that much about the UK as we move to a story now about a woman being harassed for trying to help people. That's right, this lady was simply offering support to women facing crisis pregnancies outside of an abortion clinic. Her crime? Holding a sign that said, "Here to talk if you want to." But of course, the thought police, aka the local authorities, slapped her with a fine for violating a buffer zone law. That's a law that bans any expression of opinion for or against abortion near the clinics. This is the same area that has also outlawed silent prayers. Thankfully, there are organizations like the Alliance Defending Freedom fighting back to protect free speech and the right to help others in need. Let's just hope they're able to. And speaking of needing help, how about Disney? That's right, Disney needs some help because, well, they decided that they were going to celebrate Women's History Month by renaming a beloved ice cream sundae, Mickey's Kitchen Sink Sundae, to Minnie's Kitchen Sink Sundae. Now, I'm probably one of the first people in line to jump on Disney for all the woke nonsense that they've tended to do recently, but this seems like a genuine gesture, right? Wrong. The internet, well, they didn't like it. They exploded with outrage because apparently naming a dessert after a kitchen sink is somehow degrading to women. It wasn't degrading to men when it was named after Mickey, but now in that it's been named after Minnie, well, that is just too far. It's an ice cream sundae. Now to Arkansas, where the state is continuing to take stands for common sense. Governor Sarah Huckabee Sanders put her foot down and said absolutely not to gender designations on driver's licenses. From now on, it's got to be male or female, just like it says on your birth certificate. And that ruffled some feathers, I'm sure. But guess what? There's only two biological sexes. That's a fact. And finally, across the pond, the people of Ireland have spoken, and they have soundly rejected the government's effort to remove the word mother from their constitution. Seems like there's still a lot of common sense floating around the people of Ireland, but I don't think you can say that about the leadership of Ireland. And that's been today's Wretched News Break. More Wretched Radio is straight ahead. I'm Jimmy Hicks.
Books of the Bible. Zechariah was a prophet who preached God's judgment, repentance, and the promise of salvation to the Jews returning from exile. He relays a series of apocalyptic visions, focusing on the coming of Christ, the final salvation of God's people, and the final judgment upon sinners. Remember that Jesus is the ultimate fulfillment of prophecy. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Welcome back to the Jimmy Program, formerly known as Wretched Radio. What?
Is that how I talk?
What? No, that's not how you talk. But that is how you talk off the air because you hold fire when we're talking about a subject, and then a break happens, and then all of a sudden I hear a little Jimmy chirping up. What did you want to say about the subject of assurance?
Well, it's kind of it comes off of something that you said. You said Christianity doesn't end with the knowledge of our sin and our depravity, but that's where it starts.
Yeah.
And I think that's why so many people have a struggle with assurance, because now they have this knowledge of their sinfulness and it just holds them back so much. But they didn't have that knowledge before of theirs. They chased their sin. They loved it.
Yeah, you can't be a Christian without hating sin.
Right.
You just can't. That's what Jesus was after in the Beatitudes, that we mourn over our sin, that we are the poor in spirit. Woe is me. Look at all my sin. I have a laundry list that never ends. That's the beginning. That's not the end. Don't stay there. Realize that that's the starting place. And maybe without getting psychobabbly here, maybe for some reason, without getting Freudian in any way, what is it possible that there's something inside of you that won't let yourself be forgiven or feel like you're forgiven or know the joy of your salvation? For whatever reason, is it possible you're more comfortable feeling like you're not in the family than you are in the family? I could be past. It could be familial relationships, your history. It could be your personality. You need to push through that. God doesn't want you staying in the woe is me phase. You should have that feeling. And by the way, that feeling should never go away. And honestly, when that feeling goes away, that is actually one of those times when you should dive in and go, uh-oh, what's the problem here? Why am I not feeling that way? That should be the ongoing present tense heart of the Christian. I can still do these things that my God hates. And when that feeling goes away, that's something worth diving into to consider a little heart surgery, because it should be there forever. Now, I think like so many initial emotions, you know what? Maybe there's something related here. When you first got saved, tell me you were not on a spiritual high. And I think we've talked about this, or maybe we just talked about it. Time is a little fuzzy for me. That you lose that initial spiritual buzz, and then you fear, oh no, that means I'm not saved anymore. Oh no, it doesn't. It means that your feelings are changing. They should be maturing. They should be deepening. They should be growing. It doesn't mean that you're not saved. And maybe, just maybe, that same sort of conclusion is being drawn, that your initial repentance, perhaps you wept buckets of tears, but now you don't. You cannot even create a thimbleful. And you've concluded, because my repentance is not as intense as it initially was, that means I'm not saved. Be careful of that. Be careful of that. Now, I know this is perhaps sounding like I'm talking out of both sides of my mouth, because I actually am, because you never just want to liberate people into hey, don't worry about how you feel about sin. You're gracie graced, man. That's wrong. But we also need to understand that as you grow in the knowledge of God's mercy and his grace and his loving kindness, you're going to be sinning less. Furthermore, your relationship and your convictions of your status are going to be such where I this is what contemporary worship music seeks to do. I think contemporary Christian worship at these mega churches where they're putting on the show, they're seeking to address this for people who don't feel the fire that they once had. And so this worship is intended to get you pumped back up. Be careful of that. Be careful of trying to reclaim the initial emotions that you had at salvation. I've shared this comparison before. It's like marriage. These people who have been married for 50 years, they do not feel the exact same way that they did when they first got married. It's better. It's deeper. It's richer. This is why you see these couples that die within like a same day, as long as it's not that Dutch euthanasia going on, because they just can't live without the other. Do they maybe feel that, oh, look at her, man? Nope, probably not. There might not even be any Eros love in that sense. Those feelings are just gone with the decades. Replaced with something richer. Ditto your Christian walk. Just be careful. Don't fall into one ditch or another. The hyper-grace movement was terrible for Christianity. It identified a problem that people recognize how sinful they are, and they're failing to understand how great God's grace is. And so they turned the gospel into a libertine sort of affair where you just, it's an antinomian, you don't need to worry about nothing. Well, we do, but we shouldn't be consumed by it, and we shouldn't be confused by it. Jimmy, anything else you got to say on the subject?
No.
If you're done, may I interrupt the Jimmy program?
Yeah, you can. Take it away.
This is unbelievable. This is absolutely unbelievable. This happened last Friday. I received an email from that woman down the hall. Do you know who she is, Jimmy?
Who's
working on the Purple Project?
Oh, the good-looking one across the hall?
Careful now. That could be a hostile work environment or something.
Mrs. Hicks.
That's the one right there. I asked for an update on Purple. We launched What Time is Purple? A Desire to Give Away a Million Copies. After 1 week, the Lord ordered 1.1 million copies. Kind of. Y'all ordered them so fast, we shot over the million mark. Honest, you want to be encouraged? Be encouraged by that. Because not only did folks internationally say, we'd like to distribute those, so they ordered pallets and half pallets. And they couldn't order cases because we just can't do the shipping internationally like that, but we can do pallets and half pallets. But we said in the States, not Canada, but in the States, you can order pallets, half pallets, and boxes. 2,000 people, 2,000 Christians responded and said, I'm in. Whether it was a case or it was a pallet, 1.1 million copies are accounted for. That means I'm ordering more books as soon as we're done here, because we've got to get that filled so we can get them out to everybody. And I share that with you just so that we can be encouraged. This is testimony. By the way, this might be something too that would help your lack of assurance, that you hear stories like this and God is given the credit for successes like this. It should encourage you and it should give you some confidence in the Lord. And so I would just like to do a shout out to everybody who responded. Praise God for your participation and your desire to share the gospel. Praise God for that. And thank you, Lord, for 1 week, amazing.
That is amazing.
If you ordered a pallet or a half pallet, wherever you are, expect an email, because we want to confirm that with you. You'll understand this if you're on the up and up. Well, we don't want to be sending a pallet to an atheist who's just trying to get a bunch of booklets that he can throw into the incinerator. So we just want to do some confirming on that. But then we're going to start getting these things shipped out lickety split. So praise God for that. That's some good news. I got some not so good news. Maybe, hopefully not for your church. A church administrator, this is in a California church, convicted of embezzlement. Number of these stories these days where we hear about this or pastors and their shenanigans. I bring this up not to be a downer, but to remind us, we've got to have safeguards inside of the church. If there's just one person in charge of the books, and if you're that person, well, bless your heart. But I'm sure if you're a believer, you would say, of course, wait, I can have a, open up the books. You can see them any old time that you want to. And if you don't have somebody who's looking at the books besides the person who actually manages the books, you might want to get that person. This is not the first time we've heard of it. It's pastors regularly. This was a former administrator and wife of a former police chief, convicted of stealing over $360,000, 22 counts of wire fraud at a Presbyterian church. I don't know if it's USA. I don't know if it's America. It doesn't make any difference. It is not a mark against Presbyterians. It means we got sinners. And it means, in this instance, most likely he got false converts. Make sure you've got these systems in place. By the way, this woman, yikes, 20 years in prison, a $250,000 fine for each of the wire frauds, and a mandatory 2-year sentence for aggravated identity theft. Got to tell you, that ain't my ideal justice system. This woman should be put to work, and every single penny goes to pay it back and then some. And then those people who do horrific things like strangle and rape and murder women, yeah. Little Genesis 9 for those folks. This is Wretched Radio. Who will speak for those who are staggering to the slaughter? Seems like right now would be a good time to encourage you to support Preborn Ministries. They're in it. It's a little complex out there with the internet and ordering pills. They're in the game. They're working hard to save babies and save mommies and daddies with the gospel. So if you are energized about life, that's something you can do. You can support Preborn. They provide free ultrasounds despite the accusations of all pro-life clinics. They are holistic. They do care about the mommy too. And they care for the family, and they provide training. And it is literally a way that if you have the means, you can be saving a life. Amazing ministry. Preborn.org/wretched. Preborn.org/wretched.
Thanks for listening to Wretched Radio today, and thank you for investing in our ministry. I want to ask you if you would go a step further. We need more ongoing monthly Wretched Gospel partners because we rely on our supporters to produce all of these resources that reach millions with the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. As Jesus commissioned us at the end of Matthew 28, to go into all the world and make disciples of all nations in every corner of the earth, we are asking if you would join this work by helping us to saturate this culture with the hope of Jesus Christ. We promise faithful stewardship with every single gift. As a matter of fact, you don't even have to take our word for that. You can check behind us by checking out the ECFA. We are ECFA certified. 83% of every dollar given to this ministry goes directly to the work of ministry. You can find out more right now at wretched.org/donate. Wretched, amazing grace, amazing gospel.
Record number of children are attending the Tomorrow Clubs in Africa. You should see the videos. Hundreds of kids run to meet at a Tomorrow Club in Africa. Why? Because Tomorrow Clubs, they're weekly kids meeting clubs where the kids, yep, they get some treats, but they get the gospel. They get the Bible. They get Bible memorization. Remember, we used to force our kids to do that, but now that we're oppressors, we don't want to be toxic and make our kids memorize Bible verses when it's about a gazillion times easier than when you get old. And they worship the Lord, they pray together, and they get loved on. Tomorrow Clubs, I'm telling you, record-breaking. The images are so encouraging, so cool, and I would encourage you to consider being a Tomorrow Club partner. $1 per child per month. Encourage you to please consider supporting the great ministry, tomorrowclubs.org/wretched, tomorrowclubs.org/wretched.
The fruit of the Spirit is evidence that God is working in us. Every believer will evidence this fruit. But it is important to remember that bearing fruit is a consequence of salvation, not a requirement for salvation. God is working in us and through us, and He is the source of this fruit, not us. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Let's not get carried away, come up. But this is Wretched Radio. A woman who is the church administrator embezzles $360,000 over the course of 5 years. How does that happen? No oversight, no accountability. And we don't want to get carried away with this. We don't need to start doing blood tests and check your 23 DNA and me to figure out everything about your entire history, but inside of the church, you're going to have false converts. You're going to have some Christians that fall into grievous sin. And we need to be doing everything we can to safeguard all of the realms that are underneath the church charge. Finances is just one. A lot of widows' mites were embezzled. And the woman, I think she was just buying stupid stuff. Shoes, and well, she was paying off her credit card, which is probably more stupid stuff. Those are widows' mites. We should do everything to protect that. And a genuine Christian is not going to care. If you've got somebody who's in charge of the books at your church, and you say, hey, we want you to open those up. We need to see what's going on inside of there. And they go, well, hey, whoa, what is, what, don't you try? I think you would have pretty good grounds for being concerned, because a true Christian isn't going to care. Another realm is kids' ministry, doing the background checks. You just have to do it. And a true Christian is not going to be insulted. They just won't be, because of the safety of the children. Hey, Jimmy, by the way, this, you can be as unbiased as you can possibly be. The finances here at Gospel Partners Media.
Uh-huh.
And just your observation, you're down the hall from the finance department.
Correct.
Just your observation. How does money get treated around here?
Very carefully. very carefully. Which, no, I appreciate.
It's not very carefully. It's like, hey, why wasn't that form filled out correctly?
Right.
Because we just want to be on the up and up. Besides, we get audited every year. So there's that. But even so, a crook can get away with embezzling money, even with an auditor. We want to operate with integrity. And I know for a fact, if I walked into a finance department and said, all right, right now, open up QuickBooks. I'm looking at them. But it wouldn't even, no, I would be batted. Of course, everything is open. We should be open. And the same thing is true inside of your church. If not, tighten it up. If you have not done background checks for your kids, tighten it up. And if somebody's offended, well, then that was a good exercise that you just went through. Furthermore, regarding the complaints that inevitably will be received by a church, we want to be so careful in this, because look, men do bad things to women and children. They do. And we don't want to fall into the woke wave. But having said that, we need to, I think, as a local church, have to have safeguards in place for dealing with this. What's the procedure? What's the policy? How do you, a woman comes to you and makes said, hey, this happened to me. What's the plan? Don't think about it on your heels, responding for the first time. Do it now. And as long as we're talking about that subject, the DOJ is ending their investigation into SBC leaders over allegations of abuse cover-up. Now, remember, this is not dealing with the abuse per se. It's dealing with the cover-up aspect. The U.S. DOJ completed its investigation into alleged abuse within the Southern Baptist Convention and decided not to file any charges. There were enough complaints, and look, each one of them needs to be taken so seriously. I will say this in defense of the SBC. It is a massive organization. And even though we will hear these stories on occasion, because usually they're not made public, the vast size of the SBC, it's percentage-wise, please note, I'm not minimizing anybody's experience, but percentage-wise, it's really, really low. Having said that, need to be dealing with it. As long as we're talking about the SBC, they're disfellowshipping four more churches, including two that support women pastors. Well done to the SBC. Keep it pure. Know that this is the camel's nose. And if you give an inch on the role of women in pastoral ministry, congratulations, you're going to be the Methodist Church, which has just had to slash their budget to its smallest in 40 years after mass exodus from the denomination. Now, I think a lot of those churches should have left when the Methodist Church decided to ordain pastors. So they shouldn't be shocked that the Methodist Church now is going fully woke regarding LGBT stuff. The budget was cut 43%. Woo! This would be one of those instances where that maxim is accurate. Go woke, go broke. That's what's happening to the Methodist Church. That's the legacy money. The Episcopalian Church has so much money, but it won't. It'll eventually run out, because when you're floating your church and your denomination on heritage money that it was given decades ago, that'll eventually run out too. And we evangelicals who are biblically conservative and growing will be more than happy to take care of that church building for you. Because I got to tell you, the Episcopalians, they know how to build a church, don't they? Speaking of the church, according to the FRC, that would be your Family Research Council, attacks against churches doubled in 2023. Vandalism, gun-related incidents, arson and bomb threats used against churches. Jimmy, I don't know how you feel about this, but I don't want these to be called religiously motivated crimes. Mm-hmm. I just want them to be crimes.
Right.
Because you open up that door where somebody's motivated by religion, it won't be long before that door swings in the wrong direction and hits us, most likely. Atlanta Church, oh, this is great, honoring Fannie Willis. I think the closing arguments have been offered. Mrs. Friel actually listened to a fair amount of it. She found it just fascinating. She was, this is just so compelling. These closing statements by these lawyers are amazing. So she did it as kind of an academic exercise, but this woman was honored at a church. Hey, wait a second. Jimmy.
Yes.
We're not supposed to be doing anything political inside of the church. What's going on here? There seems to be a double standard there. How some pastors are legally not paying property taxes on their homes. Inside edition, they're at it again. Did you see the infamous airplane hangar sabotage of Ken Copeland? If not, it's worth Googling if you really want to be creeped out. He is one of the individuals that Inside Edition is checking into, because these ministries, which are prosperity-driven, they use every tax loophole available to profit and to gain wealth. Jesse Duplantis lives in a $20 million home outside of New Orleans. He doesn't pay taxes. Why? He calls it church property. Oh, is that what it is? I see. He's gloated about the valuable artwork inside of his 40,000 square foot house. I think that's appropriate for a pastor, to each their own about house size. But for a pastor, 40,000 feet, Jimmy, that's about 10,000 feet bigger than your house.
About 10,000, yeah.
30,000, 35, 37, 38,000,
yeah,
maybe?
Yeah, something like that, yeah.
Wow. These guys have to brag. They have to have this stuff. Why? Because they're the ones that you look to believe what they're preaching. They preach, you can have prosperity. Well, how do I know? Look at me. And so they brag and they boast. Ken Copeland calling himself a billionaire, which is a lie. We all know he's only worth about $775 million, but they have to boast about those things. You and I watch it and we're like, that's kind of off-putting. But that's what they've got to do. That's what keeps the bucks rolling in. Hey, if I want to live like Jesse Duplantis with fancy artwork in a 40,000 square foot house, which has got to be the size of a Publix, if I'm not mistaken. That's like living in a grocery store.
Yeah. That's crazy.
It's a pastor. It's a pastor with private jets in the backyard. Would you like to end our time together on a really depressing note? Well, I've got one for you. James McDonald. Do you remember James McDonald? I do. I liked him. Yeah, our family benefited from his preaching for years. He was on the cinder block bunker in the middle of a field in Eagan, Minnesota, and we played him in our house all the time. He was just on MacArthur and all of these great preachers, just one after the other, and he was one of them. And his fall has been so sad. His latest is that he's being brought to trial. We're not adjudicating the case for beating up a 59-year-old woman. And he's trying to get the case dismissed because of PTSD, because of the way that he was treated through the investigative reporting of Julie Royce for PTSD. Quote, after years of being in an agitated state because of the traumatic memories of being vilified by Julie Royce. The woman rushed at him, triggered a fight or flight response. Feeling powerless and misunderstood and trapped in his truck, he got out and whooped her. What a tragic, tragic fall. You're welcome for that bummer. And until tomorrow, go serve your king.